Well, we certainly thank God this morning for salvation. And what a privilege it is, what an honor, and what a glorious thing it is to be able to know Him and to touch Him. I was, as the two songs were being sung, I sometimes look back over the congregation, and I want to say this morning it encourages me and thrills my heart to see the number of young people we have here this morning. And I'd like to tell you something, young people, as a side note to the song and to the message this morning, is that you really cannot ask too much of the Lord. You're going to face, as we all do and have, situations that seem so unfair and so big, so strong, and so unjust, so frightening. Now, you're going to face good things too, by the way. And remember the little song that was sung this morning. You can't ask too much of God. Where we fail is we fail to believe as we ask. We fail to ask. And we fail to put ourselves in the Lord's hands. Surely that limits God. But we really today remember this, young people. Choosing a companion, whatever it may be, you can't ask too much of God. You just can't do it. He's greater. One songwriter said He's greater than all our problems and all these things. He truly is greater. And Lord, help us this morning to have faith in this great and holy God. He's become our salvation. This morning, I had a little burden the last couple of days, like the Lord would have us speak on it this morning. I want to talk some about doors, passageways, gates, a means, a passage by which we go from one area to another area, from one event to another event, a passage by which we can go from one mindset to another mindset, that we can go from one situation to another situation. A place that we can enter into and go through and find a change, a different atmosphere, a different setting, different furniture. A place and an object that we can enter into, and when we do, we come out on the other side. It's a place of great surprises, a place of blessings. A passageway whereby things can change in our life, where the status quo can be torn down. A passage where that we can go up higher and be encouraged. I'd like to talk about that a little bit today. Sometimes we get sick in our bodies, and sometimes we get sick in our mind, and sometimes we get our spirits are down. Sometimes we have an environment that just is not holy. Sometimes there's places in our lives that we just need to get away from and get out of. I want to think about that a little bit today and thank God that He's made a way. He's made a passage, and He's become that door. He's become that object, if you will, that Savior, that special one that I can actually have a change in my life. Whatever the need may be, whatever the situation may be, that by the grace and the power of God, that they can really, there's a door that I can enter into and find change in my life. I'd like to begin reading this morning in the 118th Psalm. 118th Psalm. And I'd like to begin with just the first verse and then skip down a ways. The first verse of Psalms 118 says this: Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Declarative statement, something that is just a fact, I believe, this morning. And the psalmist said that you and I should give thanks unto the Lord. And why should we give thanks to God? Why should we say, thank you, Lord, or praise your name? And why should we offer up thanksgiving and worship to Him? Because God is good. And you can't ask too much of Him. And all power in heaven and earth is in His Christ. And He's come down to us to become a passage from that where we may be that's uncomfortable, that's hard, and that's oppressive and fearful, and that is dangerous and sinful. And He's come down and recognized the need of our life and our heart. And He's merciful and He's kind. God is good. The world is evil. The devil is evil. Sickness is not always kind to us. Temptations are certainly not good, but God is. And He offers us Himself. He can be in us and we can be in Him. And He can be that door of entrance into something better. This morning, wherever we may be in life, I think at times we do want something better. We want something better than our own thinking. We want something better than our own provisions. We want something better than we can maybe manufacture or the world can give to us. We find that there's a lot of things in life we can do or provide for ourselves, and others can provide for us. But do you know, the songwriter said, the balm to heal a heartache, only Jesus can afford that. There are things that's reserved for God to do for us. There are things that God alone has the power to change. And wishing and praying and looking to ourselves for the change sometimes is very frustrating. Have you ever had an experience where you're frustrated at your effort? Maybe some of us today have tried our efforts to the point we're frustrated. It just hadn't worked. I want to tell you about a door this morning that we can enter into. Things can be changed. You know, we may have tried herbal remedies, and we might have tried doctors, and we may have tried new ideas, and we're still kind of sick in body and sick in spirit and sick in soul and sick in our mind. Praise God. God's got a place that we can leave that and enter into a relationship with Him. His mercy. It's always there, folks. God chastens us, but God's mercy is always there. The Lord allows trials, but God's mercy is always there. You know, weeping may come and go and endure for a night and a season, but praise the Lord, God's mercy's there and joy comes in the morning. Got something better for us. He doesn't take us into a place or allow us to go into a place and say, now you sit there and that's all you'll ever have. God's right there to be merciful to us. Now let's go down a little bit to maybe the 19th verse and maybe read about 4 or 5 verses. Praise the Lord, he said. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Then he said in the 19th verse through the 24th verse, open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go in unto them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner, headstone of the corner. And this is the Lord's doings. It is marvelous in our eyes. And this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God this morning that God wants to open to us. And the psalmist cried out, open to me the gates of righteousness. And in life, you and me will find things that's unjust. Find things that are not perfect. And we'll find temptation. And we'll find the devil. And there'll be all kind of areas in our life that we want to get out of. It's unjust. Well, this word, open to me the gates of righteousness, part of that word righteousness means justice. I'm glad this morning God has justice for us. God has vindication for us. God has help for us. God has an arm that will rescue us this morning. And the psalmist said, open to me this gate. Open to me this gate of help and of mercy and of strength and of justice. There are so many things that come against you as young man and young woman or as an older person. There are so many things that are so unkind to us. So many things that are greater than we are and we don't really relish them too much. And the psalmist said, open to me your justice, Lord, the gate. I'm glad this morning that there's a door called justice, a door called righteousness. And I and you, we today can enter into that. We can be safe. We can be saved. We can be healed. We can be delivered. All things that pertain to life and godliness is through that door. And the door is real. It's established. No man can shut it. No man can open it. It's God's door. And it's a door He's provided for them that love Him. He said, the gate, the 20th verse, the gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. It's not just any gate. It's not just any door. People have tried many remedies for sin. Men have tried many remedies for the body, for the mind, for the spirit. But there is one door that's extremely special. He's the only begotten of the Father. He is the Lamb slain. He's the only name given. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the God, mighty in battle. He's a special door. He has a special invitation over the door. Come unto me, all you that labor. Sin sick, body sick, mind sick, oppressed, tried, weary, worn, at wit's end, frustrated, angry, happy, whatever we are, come unto me. This door has this plaque over it, if you will. Come unto me. It's a special door, see? It's not just any door. And the psalmist said in the 20th verse, the gate of the Lord, unto which special people enter. Think about it a minute. I know we're no better than anyone else. But did you know this door has an exclusive part of it too? It's open to those who will enter in through the door, through Jesus. Those who will be willing to leave behind, willing to lay down the things that hinder them, willing to lay down their mindsets, willing to lay down sin, willing to be washed in the blood. This door is open and we can enter into it, those who are willing to accept the change that God offers, the remedy that God offers. Those of us who are willing to take on the mantle of righteousness, not our righteousness, not any works of the flesh, not anything we have done, but to those who are willing to accept the provisions of the Almighty. This morning, are we willing to accept the provisions of God? This is a special door. We're not going to go in this door thinking, I'll have my way, or what I think is more important than anything else. I'm not going to be able to go into this door and nurture and feed my grief and my pain and my angers and my injustices. I've got to be willing to enter this door in a very special way by laying everything down. And then I go into the door through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a special door for special people. It's not the door for the world to go through. It's not great and wide and flashing neon lights all over it with signs pointing this is the way and acres and acres and acres of doors and gates there to go through. It's a narrow way. It doesn't have room for me to take Stanley through it. But my soul and my heart, my body that is sick can enter into it. But I've got to lay some things. It's a special gate, see? It's not the place that we can bring our own sin, our old heart. But it's a gate of regeneration. It's a door of making new. Jesus, or was it in Revelations, he said, behold, as if to say, look at me, I make all things new. We heard last night that this earth and all these things are going to go crashing into eternity. And it'll be no more. But oh, thank God for the new heaven, the new earth, the new being, the new body, the new life that awaits us. It's by those who enter in at the door, who come through the gates. I'm so glad this morning that our Father knows our frame. It would be pitiful if someone could not relate to you. You know, we need that, don't we? In this door, there's someone there, standing, if you will, who has become the door, if you will, who can relate to us. He relates to what you're feeling right now. He relates to your fleshly weaknesses. He understands that. He is aware of how frail we really are. And how little things can kill us. And how a little slip of the wheel takes our life. How a little germ can make us feel so bad. He's aware of that. How a little injustice can break our heart. How a little temptation can cause our eyes to wander. He's aware of that. He knows me and you and our frame. And it's but dust. Don't you remember He was there when He created us? And He knows the materials that went into us. And He knows our dependency on Him, even if we don't understand it. Even if we won't acknowledge it. That's why His mercy just keeps right on enduring. For all the hardened and the stiff-necked people that I was once one of, out there saying, I don't need anyone or anything, I can do my own thing. God's merciful to those kind of people. Because He knows they can't do it. And He's hoping that one day we'll see a door. It's unlike any door we've ever seen. It's not painted up. It's not big flashing neon signs. But there's some blood over that door. And there's something over that door that is attracting to me. And it tells me hope. Possibility. Maybe I really can change. Maybe this weight really can drop off. Maybe this affliction of my heart or of my body can really be released. And we start investigating that. And we hear words spoken. We hear the Spirit speak. And we get a little closer. And we find someone there with his arms outstretched. Perhaps a tear in his eye. Possibly offering us peace, however it may appear to us. Offering us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Something that we've never had offered to us before in such a way. And it has a ring of truth. It has a ring of righteousness. It has a ring of finally justice. Finally justice. And it's not a self-serving justice, we might say. But it's a justice that's going, I'm going to be treated fairly. I'm going to be treated right here. I want to tell you so, folks, something. And young people, get a hold of this. The world will disappoint you. Oh, that's such a small statement that's not able to convey the injustice that's out there. The world will disappoint us. But through this door, it seems like there's just hope there. It's a special door. Unlike any door that was ever been before or is now. And He said, I will praise Thee in the 21st verse. For You have heard Me and hath become My salvation. This word salvation means to be saved. This word salvation means deliverance. You have become. God said, I'll do it for you. You can't do it for yourself. You can't go that way and find what you... I'll become your salvation. I'll become your deliverance. You've got a heavy weight. You've got sin in your life. And you can't get rid of it. I'll take it. You've got sicknesses in your body. I'll take them. I'll become your deliverance. Your mind is in a whirl and you don't know exactly how to even think. I'll give you a sound mind. I'll take your old sick mind. Your emotions are distraught. Your understanding is tainted by your fears and the emotions and how you were raised and what people did to you or didn't do for you. How you were trained as a child. I understand that and I'll deliver you. I'll become your salvation. You can't get out of that trap by yourself. You can't help yourself to the point that you're free. But I'll make you free. I'll become your deliverance. I'll become your salvation. I have done that. I'll become your aid. I'll walk with you all through life. I'll go with you every step of the way. I'll accomplish your path about. I'll winnow your way. I'll be there ahead of you. I'll be there behind you. Be all around you. I'll be your aid. I'll be your victory, He's saying in this word. I'll be the victory you need. I'll be your walls of salvation. I'll be your strength. I'll be your victory. This word means health. I'll be your health. Thank God this morning. He wants to become that. He wants us to recognize a great door is open for us. And we can enter in. The stone which the builders refused has become the head. Stone of the corner has become the head. The bulwark has become the chief, has become the stay, has become the tower that you and I can run into and bring all of our burdens. This door. It's a very special door, folks. It's a very special gate. It's unknown, the songwriter said, to the proud in heart. It's really unknown to the doubtful and the unbelieving and the fearful and those that are so self-centered. And I want to say something to us today. If you're having emotional needs today, that is a self-centered thing. I'm not classifying it as a sinful thing. It can become sin. But when we become so obsessed with our own needs, that's selfishness. When we become so obsessed with our own things that have happened to us and we can't look out and see others, that's selfish. When we can't see that there's others hurting, there's others needful, and we're so introverted with our own feelings, our own emotions, our own pain, our own grief, we are not trusting in God as we should. To some degree, we're complaining about the injustice done to us, and we become ineffective in helping others. Our light begins to dim. Our light will go out. Our light will not shine. The salt will lose its savor. And the first thing you know, life is a drudgery and we're back in a pit from which we were dug out. May God help us today that the Lord said, I've got a door for you. And I'll become your salvation, your help. He went on to say, this is the Lord's doings. May we this morning know. God did this for us. I would think God had heaven. Jesus had heaven. The Holy Spirit was there. The angels was there. And if there's really streets of gold, the streets of gold were there. And if the walls really are of jasper or diamonds, then the walls of jasper and diamonds were there. He didn't need this earth, folks. He got along quite well with it through eternity without it. But He put us here. And we needed Him. We needed Him. The earth, He could have created a zillion of them. He could have done anything He wanted to do with this earth. He could have made it pear-shaped or made it a rectangle. He could have done anything He wanted to with it. He didn't really worry about it. But He did was concerned about us. And He became for us our salvation. It's the Lord's doings. Something He wanted to do. Something He desires to do this morning. Has become a door for you. A door, a passageway, out of. Out of. Are you in a place that you want to get out of? God has set a door there. And we can enter into that door and find pasture. This is the Lord's day. This is God's time. This is the Lord on display. This is God saying, look at me and live. This is the Lord coming down and winnowing and helping and blessing and saying, look at me. This is the Lord's doings. Something He wanted to do. And this is the day it's happening in. My day, your day. 100 years from now, don't worry about it. You won't be here. But you're here today. Don't worry about 100 years back. You weren't there. I kind of enjoy, if that's a good word, reading about the Civil War. Not so much the gore of it, but the intricacies of it. And I'm not a schooler. I'm not a student of that by any means. But, and this is kind of an ironic thing, or whatever, that's a good word to use. People refight the Civil War every day, and the outcome's always the same. Lee still surrendered at Appomattox. Still the same, see? You know, we go back and fight wars that we should have put to rest a long time ago. We fight battles in our mind that we ought to have forgiven someone eons ago. Little exaggeration. We hold grudges and we harbor fears that we should have gone through the door and stripped down everything in our life, entered into life, But we're out here harboring something, and the battle's been back there. The cross is behind us in the sense that the work has already been paid for. And here I am trying to figure out how Lee can win this war. Folks, he lost. Best thing he can say is, let's go forward now. You know? The Lord wants us to go forward. He wants us to lay down those old burdens. He wants us to turn loose, strip down, get rid of, and enter in. It's the Lord's doing. This is the day. This is the day of salvation. I'll rejoice. This is the day the Lord hath made. God has done this. God has provided this. And we will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. Jesus Christ wants you and me to be happy. Let our joy be full. 10th chapter of John for a moment. Jesus Christ knew that we had been expelled because of our sins from a blessed, blessed estate in Eden. 10th chapter of John. So terrible was that sin that God said they can't go back. And he put the cherub there with a flaming sword. No more. They can't go back. One day, a door was opened. One day, a way back in was made. Jesus Christ hung on a tree. Jesus Christ died a horrible death. Jesus Christ shed all his blood, his pure, holy, righteous blood. And it appeased the wrath of God against me. And I entered into that relationship and he saved my soul. And God, I'm putting words maybe in God's mouth, but God saw it and said, that's good. That worked. My wrath is gone. I love him too. Angel, put your sword down for those that will enter in to Jesus, my son. Put your sword down and let them back in. Jesus is that door. And Jesus is the good shepherd. And those that power that would keep you and me from entering in, the porter, the lamb. And he bowed. I see that one that bowed before him, and the angels glorified him, and because Jesus was the Son of God, and he paid a price, and the porter said, now mankind can come back in. You and I can come back in. And Jesus has become that door for us. Let's read in the 10th chapter down around the 7th verse. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. He became that door for us. All that ever before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. I don't know what this in and out altogether means, but I believe it means liberty. That's what I think. Because I know once we get into the fold of God, we sure don't want to go back out. I know that's not what it means. But I believe it means liberty. He that is son is set free, free indeed. You enter in at that door, expect freedom. This morning, if any of us are bound, if any of us are in any kind of prison whatsoever, any kind, I want to tell you something. Enter in at the door and expect freedom. Expect to be let loose. There was a man, he was as dead could be. And they had wrapped him in his grave clothes and had him like a mummy maybe. And I want to tell you something, if he wasn't dead when they wrapped him, they cut off his oxygen supply when they wrapped him. He was dead. And the sister said, he doesn't smell too good. Folks, sometimes we get in things that we don't smell so good. We get all bound up. Maybe nobody shot us, but we wound ourselves up. Maybe no one hung us, but we bound ourselves up with ideas and emotions and fears, etc. Unforgiveness, whatever. want into this world, and we just bind ourselves up and get the smelling kind of. We don't even like our own odor. We're not proud of it. We don't tell anybody about it. It's a secret thing. It's in a closet over here. Hello, Lazarus, he probably wasn't in too good a state. But Jesus Christ was the door, folks. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. He calls to us today to come out. Come out. We think of the scripture says, come out of her, my people, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, as coming out of sectarianism. And I believe it is that. But it's anything. It's absolutely anything that's bound us up, hindering our freedom, our liberty, our hope, our joy, our peace, our health, our victory. And the cries come out of that thing. God said, I'll receive you and be a father to you. So there was old Lazarus standing up there. Don't you know? I don't know. He was bound. I guess he just was kind of transported by the Spirit. I don't know. The Lord looked at that man, and he looked at those people, and I can just see him loose him and let him go. That's what God wants to do, free us up. He that the Son has set free is free indeed. How do we do that? We've got to get out of the place we're in, and we've got to go to the place God has for us. How are we going to do it? We can't, but God can. And God gave us a door, Jesus Christ. It's the Lord's doing, see? It's something God's done for us. God just wants to do it for us. Now, I can camp outside the door, and I can watch people go in, and I can look over in there, and I say, oh, those people seem so happy, but they don't have my problem. No, they don't. They left it at the door. They left it at the door. Oh, they've got temptations. They've got trials. But they have found the wondrous secret of abiding in the Lord. And doesn't that song say, and I'll have to paraphrase it, it's no longer I, but He? Something like that. I have ceased from my struggling. Folks, I know we're going to have cares. I'm not so naive to say we don't. But folks, them things will bind us up. They'll hold us down. And we'll worry and fret. And you know what? They'll just get tighter on us. Oh, may the Lord help us today. The Son has set us free. I don't say that cavalier. I don't say that casually. I say it with the deepest of sincerity and soberness. Folks, there's a door. And we can camp at it and be miserable. Or we can confess what we're holding on to. Or we can just ask God for mercy. Because I want to tell you, folks, there's some things you can't turn loose of by yourself. I believe that. I believe there's things that so have captured us, and it could be physical. And we sure don't minimize a physical illness. And you can't get rid of it by yourself. But there's freedom. He healed all manner of sickness. Everything. It was fulfilled, it says in the 8th chapter of Matthew, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, about Isaiah. He himself took our infirmities. He himself healed our diseases. It was in him. See, he became the door that Isaiah said was going to come. Jesus now became the headstone, the head corner. And all things good go through that door. All things good come out that door. All things that are just, all help is in through that door. He came with healing in his wings. How many of us need healing today? We all probably have a little measure of healing we need, don't we? We all probably have something that's a little more than we are. We probably, every one of us today, have a little bit of a need of some kind. We need a little more courage. A little more victory. Maybe we need a physical healing. He's become that entrance to where the blessings are. Praise God this morning for that. That we can't ask too much of our God. We really can't. Let's not limit Him. We spoke earlier about this, entering in at the straight gate. You think about it a minute. God does want us, and I said this earlier, abandon some things? Has God showed you today, sometime in your life, recently, maybe earlier, that part of your problem, or mine, is things that we're holding on to? Something I just don't want to turn loose of. It's become a security. Sure, it's a false security, but it's a security. It's become something that I just kind of got accustomed to. Some way I've justified it. He said it's a narrow way, folks. I know he's speaking primarily the kingdom of heaven, but it's still that door we got to go through. It's a narrow way. And I find a frightening thing, even as a Christian, a frightening thing, is to abandon myself. Seems like when I've got a hold to it, I don't care how false the security is, I feel some security. If I turn loose and trust someone else, if I turn loose and trust God, that's kind of a fearful thing to me. Speak as a man now. It's kind of a fearful thing. But you know what? That's where the blessings are. And to turn loose, and I don't minimize this, to turn loose, But God's got grace. God's got power. God has enabling grace and power that enables us to turn loose and let God. Prayed with a person years ago at the altar. It wasn't the first time we'd prayed together. We both knew what his needs were, so we weren't ignorant of one another. And speaking to that person, we knew, he knew, it was things that he was harboring. He wouldn't turn loose of. I picked up a Kleenex and I said, "Here, hold this." And I said, "Now that's what you're holding in your mind or your heart." I said, "I want you to turn loose of it." The Lord was there, and the little illustration became real. And he couldn't turn loose of that Kleenex. And we prayed, talked about it, counseled with one another. Finally, he was able to release that Kleenex. It became a real metaphor. It became a real parable. And that was the release that he needed, that he could go through the door. And on the other side was what he was looking for. On the other side is what we're all looking for. And we wander and we look around. Oh, God, help us today to leave our weights. Leave those sins that so easily beset us. Those hindrances at the door. Revelations 3, 7 and 8. You want to hear a good promise? I want to read it to you. Because Jesus said it. Revelations 3, 7 and 8. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my words, my word, and hast not denied my name." He said, "Behold, I set before you an open door." There it is, folks. It's ours, given to us. The Lord's work. Marvelous. This is the day the Lord hath made. We can rejoice and be glad in it. This is something God did for us. We had no power to stop it or no power to do it. God said, "I want to do it for you because I love you." And he sent the door down and he hung on a tree and he died on a cross and he went to a grave, and praise God, he came out with salvation, strength, deliverance, healing, victory, aid, whatever we need. He came out of that grave full of the glory of God and went back to the door. Now is set before us, and absolutely, I believe this, that no man can keep me and you out of the door. Now we may say, "He did this and she did that and they said this." God's more powerful than they are. And he is and she is. God's greater than that, folks. If I want to go in that door, it's up to me and God. It's up to me and God. We can blame saints. We can blame the world. But folks, the door is open for me and you. And no man can shut it. I want to tell you something. You can do all you want to. It can be every marijuana joint. It can be everything that's ugly and defiled right between you and it. But you'll go through that door. No man can shut you from going out. No man can keep me from having the peace of God that passes understanding. It's mine and it's yours. God said it before us. It's ours. The limitation, I believe, is in my acceptance and my willingness to lay it aside. That may be where the big limitation is. But he said, I've set before you an open door. Today, what's your burdens? What's mine? The Lord set before us an open door. Then in the 20th verse, behold, I love you so much. We're going to kind of have a little role reversal here. I'm going to stand at your door now. I'm going to say, please let me come in. If you'll let me come in, I'll bring you everything and sup with you. Have you ever had someone come to your house and bring all the food? It's kind of a reverse role. But that's what God does. He comes and brings everything. He says, it's yours. I brought it. I love you so much, I want to dine with you tonight. And I knew you didn't have much, and I knew you. But I have everything. And when you open that door, I came in that door. And that's what he wants. Our last verse this morning is found in Psalms 24. I don't know all about this. This is kind of some paradoxes to me in this, but let's read it anyway. 24th Psalm. Begin at the, let's see. 7th verse. I don't know why he's speaking of gates here. Maybe he's meaning me and you. Maybe he's meaning lift up those barriers that obscured his vision, us seeing him. But he said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. This morning we're changing a little bit. You've got the door now. Jesus is the door. We talked about that. But now you've got a door. Will you open it up and let the King of glory come in? He wants to. He made an entrance. You can go in his door, but you got to humble yourself. You got to say, I'm sorry. You've got to say, Lord, I need you. You've got to say, Lord, I can't do it without you. I need help. I don't have the victory. I don't have the aid. I don't have the strength. I need you, Lord. You've got to open your door. You've got to say, I'm sorry. You've got to recognize. And he said, if we'll do that, the King of glory shall come in. Well, who is this King of glory? Let me tell you who the King of glory is. He's the Lord, God, Creator, Jehovah, great I am. He'll come in, but he's just not any special one. He is the special one. And he said, who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Praise the Lord this morning. He wants to come into our life. Whatever our capacity may be this morning, he wants to come in and take care of it. Whatever our need may be this morning, today, tomorrow, yesterday, he's always wanted to help us. His mercy just endures forever. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Can't keep him out. Folks, if you say, come into my heart, come into my body, come into my need, come into my weakness, come into this place that's trapped me, come into my prison, nothing can keep him out. He will come in. If we open the door, he will come in. And he's strong in battle, mighty, strong in battle. strong in warfare. And it said again, who is this King of glory? Jehovah. The King, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. And you know what he does? He offers us rest from our labor. Best we know, this word Selah means a musical pause or a rest. And he'll come in. And I thought, so nice that they put Selah there, Selah, because that's what he came to give us. Rest from my labor and your labor. From my struggle, your struggle. Sins, the things that beset us, our hungers, our thirst, our weariness, our fears. Selah. He came mighty in battle. If we will open the door and enter into his door, if we will remove or allow God to remove those things that hinder us. My son's in the moving business. The other day, he was down moving a house in Shawnee, people's house in Shawnee. They had to take a refrigerator out. The door that refrigerator came in, the utility room door to the garage, had been sheetrocked over. And a little side door was open. It was about 2 inches too narrow. I'm going to tell you something. You could have greased that refrigerator. You could have done anything you wanted to that refrigerator, and it wasn't going to go through that door. He had to take the doors off of the refrigerator. He had to take off the extras. You and I, if we're carrying some extras today, then the little ending of the verse won't be Selah, but it'll be disappointment. But if we will allow ourselves and take our needs and open them up before God and say, this is me, Lord. Sure, not much. And I lay my sins, I lay my feelings, I lay myself down. You know what? We'll go through the door. And when we go through that door, we'll find pasture. Good pasture. Pasture that is what we... Oh. Have you ever had a long, hard day? I know this is about as common as you can get. Have you ever had a long, hard day and wore your business or your work clothes and your shoes and you come in the evening and the first thing you do is take your belt off, stretch a little bit, and take your shoes and socks off? Doesn't that feel good? That's what God wants to do for us. He wants to unburden us this morning. Are you sick? God loves you and he wants to heal us. Are you weary of life? God wants to infuse us with his love and energy. Are we holding on to things that are hindering us and binding us? God wants to loose us and let us go. Thank the Lord this morning for the door, Jesus Christ. Pray for me.